Plus 49.
Bienvenidos to another episode of Plus 49. My name is Sigrid Arteaga, and I'm so glad to have you with us for another summit edition of this show. Today, we're unpacking some of the most urgent stories that are reshaping Germany's politically and cultural landscape. We're also going to be talking about the wildfires currently burning across eastern Germany and how these fires are exploding an often overlooked danger, which is unexploded World War II munitions that are still hitting beneath the surface. And later in the show, I sit down with Theodora. She's the founder of the app Velut, to talk about solo traveling, growing up between cultures, and how movement can offer more than just an escape. It can be a pathway to connection, growth, and self-discovery. So maybe you're tuning in from a sunny picnic or just at your kitchen table. We're so glad you're here. Let's dive in. Let's start with the news this week. Tensions at Europeans' internal borders are once again making headlines. Starting on Monday, Poland introduced a temporary border check with Germany and Lithuania. Prime Minister Donald Tusk says the move is aimed at reducing what he calls uncontrolled flows of migrants moving through the Schengen zone. The decision comes in a direct reaction to Germany's continuing border checks, measures originally introduced last year to limit irregular migration. While freedom of movement is a core principle of the Schengen area, the current German policy includes controversial provisions that allow border agents to turn asylum seekers away. Shifting now to domestic politics, Germany's center-left SPD is preparing for a legal confrontation with the far-right AfD. At its national convention in Berlin, the party voted to form a working group that will assess whether the AfD violates Germany's constitution. If enough legal evidence is gathered, the case could be brought before the Constitutional Court. SPD leader Lars Klingbeil describes the move as a historic responsibility, arguing that democracy must be defended not only at the ballot box, but also within the courts. But not everyone is convinced. The CDU has expressed concern that banning the AfD might only deepen public disillusionment. As of now, the legal route ahead is long and far from certain. In a similar development, former Chancellor Angela Merkel has entered the national debate, voicing clear disagreement with the party's current asylum stance. In a conversation with refugees broadcast by WDR, Merkel stresses the importance of providing fair asylum procedures at the border. Her comments directly challenge the Merz-led CDU and echo the more humanitarian approach she took during the 2015 refugee crisis. Merkel was careful to acknowledge that migration needs regulation, but said the answer must be coordinated, legal, and European. For deeper dives in these stories, check out our online magazine at plus49.de. Today in our cultural segment, we're turning to the intersection of history, climate, and crisis. Because massive wildfires are sweeping across parts of eastern Germany, and some of the worst blazes are happening in places still haunted by the past. Over 500 emergency personnels are battling wildfires near the Saxon-Brandenburg border and in Thuringia. What it's making this fire so dangerous isn't just the heat or the drought. It's what's buried beneath the ground. One major fire is burning in Gottschirsheide, it's a natural reserve, a former military training zone where live ammunition and unexploded bombs from the past decades remain hidden. These wartime remnants drastically limit where and how the firefighters can respond. Drones and helicopters equipped with thermal imaging are now being used to detect danger zones, while nearby areas, including a residential facility for several disabled people, have had to be evacuated. In Tuttingen, Crews are tackling the region's largest wildfire in over 30 years. Roughly 300 hectares are affected, and the combination of dry vegetation and shifting winds has officially bracing for more flare-ups. So why is this happening and why here? Well, it's happening everywhere, but of course, climate change is a major fact. Prolonged drought and rising temperatures have left forests across Germany tinder dry. But there's another layer, history. Thousands of former military sites, many of them in eastern Germany, still contain unexploded ordnances from Nazi and Cold War eras. Just north of Berlin in Oranienburg, an estimated 200 Second World War bombs are still buried. Nationwide, thousands of tons of wartime munitions remain under the forest, fields, and even seabeds. This legacy has turned natural fire into a dangerous and unpredictable crisis and serves as a stark reminder on how the past can quite literally resurface in any moment. Have you ever wanted to travel, but you haven't found anybody that can travel with you? Or maybe you have a couple of friends that will travel with you, but they want to go to a beach and relax, and you want to go partying or all the other above? Well, apparently, someone thought about this and say, hey, I have an idea. I want to be super stressed, but on the same time, I want to give a solution to someone, and I want to be an entrepreneur. And Theodora, I don't know how you say that in Greek.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, it's Theodora in Greek.
Oh, so pretty. You decided that you wanted to be an entrepreneur and help us out with traveling across the world with or without someone.
Exactly. Hello, everybody.
So tell us a little bit about Velout. Velout.
Yes, it's Velout. I know we have a little bit of the name problem, the pronunciation, but you got it right the second time. So this is actually exactly what happened to me. I'm a solo traveler for like 10 years almost now. I'm also getting older. And I always had this problem. And I tried basically everything that is out of the market. Now more and things are coming out. And I was like, why are everybody focused so much on where we have to go? And why can everybody text with everybody without knowing who the other person is that you're gonna travel? And that's why it was basically just an idea, and I just were building it without knowing where I will go. And then we built this app where we basically match you with your travel buddies around the world, but we don't only focus where you go next, but with who you go, so on the travel personality. So we try to figure out how can we actually create those meaningful connections that are needed for every single one of us here, because we're humans and we need human connections. So yeah.
You just said one of the, I think, the key topics when traveling. Everybody has a different pace. I'm the person who needs to take it super slow in the mornings. And I have one of these great friends that needs to wake up very early in the morning and goes jogging and then comes back and is like, let's do things. And I'm like, oh my God, please, I can't. And it's not that we don't match. It's just that she wants to do something different and I want to do something different. So matching personalities, I think it's a very important thing because everybody has a different pace when traveling. So Velout, when I go there and I download the app that you can now find in any Apple store and in any Android store, and what will come?
Yeah. So what will come is a onboarding process. So basically we verify your number first of all instead of email, because we were thinking of, okay, how can we make the app right away more secure? And we realized everybody has 10 emails, everybody can create an email. So the more secure way is to ask for the phone number, because in anyhow, if something happens, and we don't hope for this, but in anyhow, those phone numbers are connected to one single person. So it's easier to get the identity of the person. Obviously, we have to anonymize everything with the data protection. We are really, really, we have to be careful with that. So everything is anonymized.
We're in Germany, data protection.
Yeah, we're in Germany. Exactly. Our servers are in Frankfurt, Germany. Everything is like protected as much from our side. That's why we ask for your phone number first. And then you have an onboarding process where you also think about where you want to go next. What are your interests? Put a little, you know, travel pictures. And then you can also verify your profile. And what is now basically missing still is like the bigger travel personality matchmaking, because we're doing this together with a research center. So in the next 2 months, we will have this major update. So that's why we took it a little bit out to make it more research based. And where you can basically, exactly what you said, in the morning, if you're a morning person, you put like, I'm more a morning person. I'm a slow morning. I plan my trips right away. I want to go to hostels. No, I want to have a budget-friendly travel accommodation. So everything that we are right now analyzing will come into our app. And then you can basically, for every single trip that you create on our app, also have your travel personality, because we're so different and our needs and wants are different on every trip. So this is basically how it works. And it's globally available and for free right now. So I would get the chance to download it, because you might get a lifelong subscription if you're the first 500 people. So
then definitely we'll all download it right now. We're back with Theodora, and we're also here joined by Marlene. She's our producer. She's normally all the time behind the screens and watching if we're saying things that are okay to be said, or if I'm already saying something that I can't, or it's not very well said. Anyhow, we were talking about travel personalities, which is like a very important thing. So I'm just going to ask real quick into the conversation. Marlene, do you know your travel personality?
So the first thing I notice about myself is that I'm awake early. So, and a friend of mine, she sleeps until like 12 or 1 a.m. And we also have to struggle. Like, I'm awake at 8 a.m. and we don't match that way. So it's always complicated to like find the middle ground, and we have to compromise. So that's definitely a thing for me. And on the same time, I have to take an afternoon break. I can't go the whole day. So I have to take a break in between. And I was traveling with my family, and they're like adventure all day, and I just can't do it. And then I always have to clink myself out. So I think it's really interesting how different we are and how many aspects there are to it.
How did you arrive into this whole personality travel, Theodora? How did you arrive in this place where you said, like, I'm hearing what you're saying, and I want to take things into my hands and do a nap? Didn't you got like super afraid of starting on your own, on the idea if somebody would love it or not? You know, like, how did you got there, and how did you overcome the fear and just start doing it?
Yeah, I have to say, I had no clue where I'm putting myself into. So I just went for it without knowing this roller coaster of emotions when you build your own company. But the good thing was, during my studies, I had like a startup coach. It was actually my lecturer building his third company or something. And he was like, I see something in you, and I see something in the idea. Like, just go for it. I'm here for you. So we had this coaching calls every single week. And I really, really appreciate it, because I don't know if I would do it by myself, like without having any support. Because again, I had no clue what I'm doing without technical background. I want to build an app. Like, what am I doing, right? But I really had this passion of connecting people, like always, and traveling. I mean, I took my first flight with 2 months old, because my parents were crazy enough to give birth to the States and come back to Germany. And I think it was like in my DNA, this traveling. And I realized how lovely it is to meet so many different cultures and connect with people. Really change you as a person. And I wanted to give this opportunity to everybody out there who are scared to travel alone, the ones who never can find like-minded people. Because at the end of the day, we want to travel and don't have service connections. So that's why I did a deep dive into and asked the question, what are actually those parameters that connect us on a deeper way? And then we got backed up by the research center of psychologists who were like, we're going to help you with analyzing all the data around it and build human-centric design and technology together with you. So it was like really connecting the dots when you walk the way. So I'm encouraging every single person to just go for it without knowing the outcome, because you never know what's going to happen. If you're passionate about anything, just go for it.
We're so going to put that out there, because I think it doesn't matter also what age you are or what is your background. I think passion does move a lot of things.
And building the right support system around you, it's really, really important.
We've been talking about traveling and how it is to travel alone, to have your own profile, to be entrepreneur. And you have a Greek family, but you had all your, like, you grew up here in Germany, right?
Yes, exactly. And born in the States. So a wild combination.
How has it been for you as someone who comes from this multicultural environment to adapt on one side to Germany, to adapt on the way that some customs change the way you perceive traveling? And also, what do you feel? Do you feel German? Do you feel Greek? Do you feel American? Do you just feel like a global citizen?
Really, I love this question. I really, really love it. And I have to say, I grew up in a little town where half of it is my Greek family. So basically, my whole childhood was only surrounded by my family, cousins, aunts, uncles. We barely could speak German when we went to school. So it was really hard for us to adapt to the German culture because we didn't know any else than the Greek culture, right? As a kid, you only see what you see around, and these were like Greek people, bunch of Greek people, go to Greek school, go to Greek dancing. So, and I love this about Greek people, they build their own little communities wherever they are in the world. So I would say I feel much more Greek than German, because I still sometimes have this difficulties to adapt to the culture of it. And whenever I'm in Greece, I'm like still there also having my difficulties. So, but it's more like feeling like home. And then having the American passport, it's wild. So at the end, I know I'm a human being, and 99% of our DNA is shared with every single one of us. So we are kind of also just humans, you know, growing up in different cultures and having this internalized into us. But I love, love, love to dive into other cultures and experience this, because this changed my perspective and how I see the world. And then I forgot the other question, I think.
No, but I think we already on that track on multiculturality and, of course, traveling borders, the vision of life, and you become a little bit more flexible and you understand a lot of other things. But regarding that first part that you said, that you were born into a sort of Greek state outside of Greece, what would it be for you the best way to integrate into Germany? Because, of course, we can always stay outside of the German culture, especially if you moved here with your family and you only speak the language in your house. Weirdly enough, my family came from Germany and went to Mexico. And in my house, my grandmother only spoke German. But then my mom got married to a Mexican. And then suddenly we became very Mexican. I was born very Mexican. Yet my cousins are still kind of very German. So, I mean, it's a different situation. But considering the fact of what we're seeing right now in Germany, this need to integrate, that's something, this Willkommenskultur, we have not really gotten it. We have not really understood how Germans work or how Germany works. As someone who was born here, but in this environment, what are your thoughts on integration?
So I would say I have a lot of friends from all around the world who are also living in Germany, who have difficulties. I have a lot of Greek family who came and moved back again. My sister moved back to Greece since almost 10 years now, because she was like, I cannot do this. You know, it doesn't fit my way of living. And I have to say, it's okay as long as you respect the culture of the country you are in, and you kind of try to adapt and be open and curious about all the traditions, about all the way of living. It's fine. You don't have to adapt it, but you have to respect it. You have to accept it, and you have to learn in an intelligent way how to have this cultural awareness and work together. I don't think it's necessary to become German. I don't think it's necessary to become Greek if you move to Greece. I think it's just important that you respect the people and you are not like frustrated or, you know, like pissed and angry at the way they're doing this, because, hey, that's who they are. That's how they grew up. And we're all humans. We should respect each other and have this curiosity about learning other cultures, about learning how they talk, how they work, how, you know, you give feedback. I think it's beautiful to have this learning aspect in mind and the curiosity when it comes to moving in another country, growing up in another country. And yeah. I mean, even going back to Greece now, I have to learn so many things, right? And just don't get angry right away.
I think at the end of the day, I mean, we've talked with a lot of people from different parts, but even if you just talk with the first generation Turkish people in Germany, especially in Berlin, we all have the same feeling. We're not longer from the place where we were born, but we're also not from the place we come from. So we're basically with two or three nations, and we just have to camouflage ourselves once we're in that new country. It is not easy, as you said. Just accept this ability of frustration and say like, yeah, that's the way the bell bounces, so to say.
Yeah, exactly. And at the end, we cannot forget that we have such a privilege being here and growing up here. As a kid, I always wanted to go back to Greece. I was angry at my parents. But then I realized, wow, I wouldn't have the opportunity to study, to live 1 year in Mexico as well, abroad due to the German university. And realizing also the Germans almost have the best passport, right? It's also a privilege to travel, I have to say. Not every country, not every human being can travel. And this comes back to colonization and still is unequal how we travel and who is able to travel. So again, seeing all these privileges that a country like Germany can give us and adapt or having this gratitude for it, at least, I think it helps.
So we're back to our last part with Theodora. And I just wanted to hop on something you said about solo traveling and the scary part and how we just should do it. But do you have like any tips or how to start? Because I never did it and I am scared because I'm thinking, what do I do? What if I get lost or anything? So do you have any tips?
Yeah, so first of all, I always say if it's your first time solo traveling, and I swear it changed you, just go for a safer place. Go somewhere that is closer to your hometown. Go somewhere where you can speak the language or where English is like really common. So don't make a big, big trip right away. Make it a short time period and match an hour up maybe with a travel buddy who fits you so you are already not alone, because we say travel solo but never feel alone. And I think this is the slogan we're aiming for. And already look into the transportation there in the city, right? So you don't get lost immediately when you arrive there. Book a really nice accommodation beforehand, maybe a hostel where you can already connect with some people. And yeah, keep it shorter, keep it a little bit more structured, and don't go too far too fast. Because I have friends who did solo and they were like, I will never do this again. I got so scared. I cried every single night because I feel alone. I couldn't speak the language. Nobody understood me. So start slowly and yeah, match and find a travel buddy on our app if it makes your life easier.
Thank you. I think those are some really good tips. And especially because I'm German, I like to plan things ahead. So the organizing part really speaks to me. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about where we can find you and how we can support your app.
Yeah, so you can find me personally on LinkedIn. I'm very active there and post cool stuff of events that we're hopping on. So you can definitely connect with me on LinkedIn and ask me there any questions. I might respond super late, but I'm responding to your messages. And also our startup is out there, Velout app on Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, basically. And obviously download it for free. We are looking so much, like it's the first version of it. So we are so open for feedback along the way. We have customer support number and email also on the app. So if you have anything, either personally text me, download it, test it out, and tell me your feedback, what you like, what you didn't like. We are so open to hop also on little calls with our customers and yeah, build something even greater for them at the end.
That sounds really nice. And I really hope your app takes off because I think it's a really great invention, especially for starting solo traveling. And thank you so much for joining us today and giving us these insights.
Thank you so much for having me here and for your valuable time. I really, really enjoyed it.
Plus 49. Ask a German.
I actually have I think my school time was the funniest with this interaction of German culture, because you know, then I was out of my Greek bubble into this multicultural, especially German school. And I was like inviting my friends for when we had the breaks, right? I was a little child. My parents gave me money to buy something and I was buying for my friends because that's how you do it in Greek culture, you know, buying for somebody, then they buy something back. But it never happened. And I was asking myself, why they're never inviting me for anything, you know, not even for 1 euro bread. It was not that expensive. So I was like, maybe I should stop inviting them all the time because my parents were like, where's all your money? And I'm like, I'm inviting my friends, you know, that's how we do it, no? So I'm like, why they're so, also as children, so, you know, close with your money. So how you say this, Schwaben? I also grew up in the Schwabenland, right? Where everybody is counting every cent. So I was like, why can they not invite me even for 1 euro Pausenbrot? So...
I totally get where you're coming from, and I also noticed this when I was younger. But in Germany, there's actually a cultural norm around this. Every cent counts, literally. We grew up with a saying like, wer den Cent nicht ehrt, ist des Euros nicht wert. Basically meaning, honor the penny or you're not worth the euro. Highlighting a deep-rooted respect for small amounts. And this is not about being stingy. It's about precision, responsibility and fairness. Like most things in Germany. Interestingly, our history also plays a big part. Germany's hyperinflation in the 1920s and post-war currency crashes taught families that money can vanish overnight, making every cent precious. Today, that psychological legacy lives on. Cash gives a tangible sense of control over spending. This is also the reason why many people still prefer to pay with cash instead of card. In daily life, German cashiers are legally obligated to give exact change. Rounding up, even by a cent, can be seen as theft. And if a friend pays for you, expecting the exact amount back isn't them being cheap. It's them respecting fairness and avoiding ambiguity. It's simply the right thing to do. For us, financial interactions, even small ones, reflect reliability and trust. Remembering exact amounts shows we didn't take anyone for granted, and that we take commitment seriously. All in all, it's less about the money itself and more about integrity.
And that's it for today's episode of Plus 49. A big thank you to Theodora, founder of Blut, for sharing her story and reminding us how travel can be a tool for self-discovery and connection. And a special shout out to Marlene, our producer. She's keeping the show running behind the scenes. We'll be back next week with more voices, more ideas, and more glimpses into the life in this endlessly fascinating city. Until then, take care, stay curious, shake off that booty, and enjoy the summer. Hasta la próxima.